Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, today's gospel reading is what? Challenging? Delicate? Touchy? You would think that Jesus, of all people, would be sensitive to those who've been through divorce. And yet, not only does he quote Genesis 2 here, but he also says, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. Now, that doesn't sound right, does it? Today, we wouldn't say that divorcing someone and remarrying are cheating. So what is Jesus getting at here? Where is the good news in all of this? Well, first, we need to think about how marriage is viewed in our day compared to how it was viewed in Jesus' day. In our day, the accepted plan for marriage is that you fall in love with the one. You go on dates, you get engaged, you get married, and then you live happily ever after. Basically, you find your perfect match, and the two of you get to grow old together. Isn't that what all the fairy tales and romantic comedies and Hallmark specials tell us? Sometimes that does happen. There are couples who get to celebrate their 50th, or 60th, or even 75th wedding anniversaries. And if that is you and your spouse, that's awesome. Great job showing the rest of the world what faithfulness and commitment look like. But of course, that's not always the case. Sometimes people get married and it doesn't work out. They thought they were good for each other, but they really weren't. And so they divorce. And sometimes one or both of the people then marry somebody else. Well, there's nothing wrong with that, right? They're leaving a relationship that didn't work, and now they're trying to start a new relationship with somebody else. That's good, isn't it? Jesus wouldn't want somebody to be stuck in an unhealthy relationship, would he? Doesn't that mean divorce is okay? Well, like in Jesus' day, divorce is legal, but of course it's not the ideal. Sometimes it's a choice that has to be made, but it is not what God wants. What God wants is healthy relationships. Notice that I didn't say marriage. Marriage is a wonderful context for this kind of commitment to play out, but think of it this way. There are some people who are married, but they are in very unhealthy relationships. Legally, they are together and they might share the same bed, but they might as well be miles apart from one another. On the other hand, there are some people who are divorced and live miles away from each other, but they remain faithful friends. So that means marriage is not the be-all and end-all of human wholeness. And divorce is not the be-all and end-all of human brokenness. Did you hear that? Your relationship status does not make you right with God. And it doesn't show that you're a sinner. Regardless of our relationship status, all of us are sinners. And by the grace of God, all of us are made right with God. So then why is Jesus being so hard on divorce here? Shouldn't he be more concerned about healthy and unhealthy relationships? Well, actually, he is. To see how, we need to think about what marriage looked like in his day. Now, in that culture, people did not get married because they found the one and wanted to live happily ever after. No, people got married because it was arranged. The parents of those getting married organized it all. But the family saw it as if they were following God's plan. This is where the phrase, what God has joined together, comes in. They saw God arranging this. They did not see God like Cupid, who made two people fall in love. That's our modern understanding of the phrase. In that day, they saw God as instrumental in helping the families make this arranged marriage. From a practical perspective, though, the two sets of parents arranged it in order to improve their social standing and the social standing of their kids. That's because that culture was very much based on honor and shame. You did things that would bring you honor and wanted to avoid things that would bring you shame. So if you could get your kid to marry somebody from a good family, that would bring your family honor. So basically, marriage was not about romance. It was a business transaction. The two families tried to find a partnership that would be mutually beneficial to both of them. So let's say the families agreed to this business deal of having their kids get married. The man and the woman started their relationship together, but then maybe it didn't work out. Maybe they didn't like each other. Maybe one of them did something really stupid. Whatever the case, the relationship broke down. And if they got divorced, which was legal, then it would be a mark of shame on the husband, the wife, and the families. Divorce was seen as a sign of failure, because either the parents organized a faulty deal, or the married couple just couldn't make the deal work. In an honor and shame system, nobody wanted that. For example, think about the emotional turmoil that Joseph went through when he found out Mary was pregnant and not by him. He considered divorcing her. But he also knew how that would reflect on him and on Mary and on their families. Thankfully, the angel appeared to him and clarified things, but you get the point. Marriage was about image and social standing. So given that context, we can sort of understand better where Jesus is coming from here. He was not saying that people in unhealthy relationships should be forced to stay in them. Instead, he was pushing against the idea of seeing relationships as a business transaction. He was saying that people are not property to be bartered with, or given away, or tossed aside, or abused. They are not there just to make you look better. And treating them that way is as serious as cheating on them. You are disrespecting them and not giving them the dignity that they deserve. Now, just in case you might think that means our views of marriage are better than the ones in his day, consider this. How many weddings today still have the father giving away the bride? How many women are still treated as trophy wives? How many people today get married not for love, but for money, or lust, or power, or status? You get the idea. There are so many times today that people get married only because of what they think the other person can give them. And Jesus knows this. He's a smart guy. He knows that human relationships can be broken, and that marriages are no exception. And so he tells his original audience and us not to treat others like objects that can be discarded. Other people are not here just to make you look better. They are not here just to wait on you hand and foot. They are not here just to make you happy. Instead, people are precious in the sight of God. That means you are precious in the sight of God. No matter your relationship status, you are important to God. You are not an object to be used, or trash to be thrown away, or arm candy with no identity of your own. Instead, you are a wonderful child of God and deserve to be treated that way. This is also why the scene with the children comes right after the scene with divorce. Now, of course, we like this scene a lot better. And we kind of imagine Jesus being the best babysitter ever here. He's having all the kids up on his lap. He's giving them hugs. He's telling them stories about God's love. And then he makes sure they get to bed and brush their teeth, all that. But let's remember something. 2 weeks ago, we heard how Jesus welcomed a child, a powerless one, into the midst of the disciples. And he said that if any of the disciples wanted to be great, they would serve powerless ones, like this child. Then he reminded them not to put a stumbling block in the way of any of these little ones who believed in him. Children, much like women, were at the bottom of the social totem pole. And as I mentioned before, it's not because kids were unloved. It's simply because they didn't live very long. Not many of the kids in that day survived into adulthood. So people tried not to get emotionally attached to them. Right? I mean, if they were here today and gone tomorrow, then what's the point of being attached to them? In the same way, if women could be in a marriage one day and then tossed to the curb the next, then what's the point of caring for them? When Jesus welcomes the kids, he's not just being the best babysitter ever. Instead, he is welcoming all who have been cast out and cast aside. He is providing much-needed love to those who are at the bottom. So if you have ever treated someone as a thing to be used, if you have ever seen them as an object for your own pleasure, if you have ever been in a relationship with someone only because of what you wanted the other person to do for you, then Jesus is calling you out on it. He calls you to repent. Children of God are not to be treated that way. That is as serious as cheating on them. Jesus died for them too. And they are precious in his eyes. On the other hand, maybe you have been used and abused and thrown away. Maybe you have been treated like an object. Maybe you have been in a relationship with someone and all they wanted to do was take from you. If so, then Jesus is here for you. Even if others treat you that way, he never will. Human relationships may be broken at times, but a relationship with Jesus is always healthy. Of course, that doesn't mean that human relationships are never healthy. In many cases, they are healthy. Right? There are times that we do love others with the love Jesus first showed us. And as a really good example of that, look at all these stuffed animals here. You have brought all of these in for the kids at Care House. And these are kids who have experienced abuse and neglect. They know what it's like to be treated as objects. But you are reminding them that they are precious in God's eyes. Even if you never meet these kids, you are reminding them that you love them and that God loves them. And that's awesome. So yes, this text about divorce is challenging and delicate and touchy, but it's important to keep it in context because the issue is not really about divorce at all. It's more about how we treat each other, regardless of our relationship status. All of us have been given the life-changing love of Jesus. And now we get to share that love with others. Because in the eyes of God, the only status that matters is the one all of us already have. Beloved children of God. And that's good news, both in Jesus' day and in our own. So in the name of the one who loves you forever, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.